Good morning, everybody. Here we are. Yeah, we've already lit the candles. I'm just going to be up here. No reason to.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace and peace, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to worship services of Grace United Methodist Church on this slightly different Sunday morning. We're glad you're here. We're not going to be passing the attendance pads down today, so I think they should have been picked up so you won't see them in the interview pew. If you did not get a bulletin, the bulletins are sort of dispersed among the pews, so if you didn't get one and you don't see one around, let me know and we'll bring one to you. I just saw the Loves pull up, so yeah, I think Sandra's coming in. I know we've got some different things going on today. We're trying our best to be good stewards of what we've been given and make sure that we satisfy as many of the health concerns as we can. When you came in today, you probably noticed the offering plate in the back. We'll be taking up offering a little bit differently. In the past, we'll be explaining a number of things that we're doing in response to the requests that we've been asked to comply with for our small groups and large group gatherings. For the most part, if you look in your bulletin, you'll see, we did not update the bulletin, but if you look in the bulletin, for the most part, any of our small group meetings that are in the bulletin have been either postponed or canceled. Specifically, the Joy Group that was going to be having their St. Patrick's Day party this week, that has been canceled. The United Methodist Men's Group has been canceled. And the pastor is going to be looking at ways that we can also put our meetings that we need to have, maybe do them virtually. Carol.
Methodist Women Brown Bag and the book group next Sunday have all been canceled.
I think for the most part, most of the small group meetings that are in the bulletin have been canceled. If you have any questions, you can see the leader of that group. I haven't heard of a single one that's still going on so far. And choir will not be practicing after church today as well. So again, we thank you for being here. Are we celebrating any birthdays this week? Any anniversaries?
The -1.
Got a wedding coming up.
I don't know what you call it. It's not an anniversary. We got to see if you go through with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't count till you do it, okay? Well, I'm going to take personal privilege here. I know we missed Miss Lolly's birthday last week, so we're going to sing happy birthday to her. To come before the church today. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for worship. Thank you.
Please turn with me and as we join together in our call to worship. It's printed in your bulletin. It's also on the screen this morning. O Savior of the world, who by your cross and precious blood has redeemed us.
Save us and help us.
Amen.
Those who are able, please stand and join with me in singing hymn number 89, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
At this time, we're at the point in our service where we have a children's sermon. I do see Miss Jax out there. Would you like to come up and join me for a children's sermon? It's just you and me, so I'll give you the option. Okay. Come on down. I'm glad you're here. I want to come on down. I know being by yourself sometimes doing it is sometimes tricky, but good morning. All right. So, this morning, we're doing worship a little different. We're here, and because we've got some germs going around, we're trying to keep our distance. We're focusing on online worship a little bit. But in our passage of Scripture, Jesus tells a woman at the well. It's a woman that nobody expected Jesus to be talking to. It's somebody that nobody really expected Jesus to be interacting with or taking a drink of water from. He tells her that he's the living water and that soon everybody will worship him in spirit and in truth. And it won't matter where you worship as long as you're worshiping in spirit and in truth. And so we've got this different kind of worship piece going on, but one of the things that we know we can lean into is that as long as we embrace Jesus and embrace his Holy Spirit, his living water that he gives us, we can worship him in spirit and in truth. And even when we have to change all these things about worship and they're different and weird and we're not real sure what we're doing sometimes, we know that if we're coming in the whole power of the Holy Spirit, in spirit and in truth to worship God, that we'll be doing it right. And when we come to the living water, have you ever heard somebody talk about living water? No, I know. Nobody else really had either before Jesus did. He said he has the living water to be able to give us. And that living water is we think about it when we come to baptism. It's about the waters that help to wash us clean of our sin, just like we're washing our hands real good right now, singing happy birthday, counting to 20 or doing whatever. I was talking to Mr. Mark before worship, and one of the things that's going around is to worship while you wash. So you can do the doxology or the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer as you're washing your hands. You can be worshiping while you're washing and get some spiritual washing in as well. But so we do that, but these living waters that Jesus gives us, they're waters of his grace that help us to get rid of the things that keep us from fully participating and being with Jesus, and that help to bring us more in his presence. So it's things like praying and reading scripture and asking Jesus to be with us, no matter what goes on, no matter all the crazy things that are happening in the world and the ways things happen in our lives. And so we get to live into that right now. Isn't that kind of cool? Yeah. So you think you can think about some of those things this week, and maybe every once in a while when you're washing your hands this week to get them clean, do you think you can do like Jesus loves me while you're washing your hands? Can you sing that in your head or out loud? Think you can do that? Yeah, we can add that in, right? Okay, it's a slow nod. I'm hoping y'all are nodding back there too. Y'all can do other things. But thank you for coming down and talking with me for our children's sermon. Let's pray today. Put your hands together, and we'll bow our heads, and everybody repeat after me, okay? Dear God,
thank you
for your living water,
that brings us to you.
Amen. All right, thank you. You can head back to your seat. This morning, as we go to God in prayer, we are going to do some things a little different as we move into this new social distancing phase of our life together in community as church. We've heard we've got things that are being canceled, our small groups, some of our events and opportunities that we were looking forward to are canceled or postponed at this time, and we are going to be looking for ways to do more things virtually so that we can continue to fellowship with one another, to study, to learn. We're gonna try to do all that we can to stay connected to one another, but as we think about this and as we come to the Lord in prayer, we want to be in prayer about this situation. We want to be praying for all those who've already been affected by this virus, for the ways it is making an impact, especially to those who are most vulnerable because of being immunocompromised from a disease or chemo treatments or whatever it is that puts them in that position or puts them in a particular position of vulnerability. And it's in keeping those folks in mind and thinking about those folks is why we want to be as cautious as we can and do what we can to make sure that everybody is safe and has an opportunity to continue to worship, which is why I'm grateful to Grace for already having had our online worship option in place long before I ever got here. And so we do have that option. And as we enter more into our time of prayer before the Lord, the first thing I want to do is just ask that if there are folks who are worshiping with us online and you're on a platform that has this capability, if you would, if you have an unspoken prayer request, you are welcome to like the video as a way to show your unspoken prayer request. And if you have a spoken prayer request, if you want to just put in the comments of the video prayers, I will try and follow up with you this week about what your prayer request is. I know that on some of our online worshiping platforms, there's also a prayer button. And so you can just push that prayer button and it will send me an email. You can also send me an email at pastor@gracecolumbia.org if you have prayer concerns you'd like to share. As we enter more into our prayer time here, are those with unspoken prayer requests? If you have an unspoken prayer request, will you please raise your hand this morning? Thank you. And as we continue in prayer, we want to lift Ken and Kitty Fashing in prayer. Ken is still recovering from his knee surgery, but he also spent some time in the hospital with some heart complications this past week. And they also have a great-grandson who was diagnosed with leukemia. And so we want to be in prayer for that great-grandson as well. We praise God and offer prayers of praise on behalf of Miss Betty Arant for the successful surgery that happened for her great-granddaughter, Vivian. And so we praise God for that successful surgery for that young baby as she needed a surgery last week. We also want to continue in our prayer for Darlene Simpson and for Mike, as Mike had to have a procedure done last week, and Darlene continues in trying to get better and recover due to some ailments she had going on. We ask for prayers for Brooke McPhail and her family, specifically for her grandmother, Margaret, at this time. And we also ask for prayers for Chris Smith and his family in the death of his grandfather this last week. We also received a praise report that Sam and Alice received traveling mercies in their travels last week, and so we praise God for that answered mercy. Are there other spoken prayer requests you all would like to lift this morning? Oh, yeah, Ellen. Thank you. We had Ellen this morning too, and I apologize for missing it. She's got bronchitis, right? Yes.
I guess just travel mercies. We rearranged the honeymoon to go to not Europe.
Yep.
To do a lower risk honeymoon. Hopefully everything stays good and we're not asked to replan.
Honeymoon again, yeah. So for Brian and Christine, they get married on Saturday. So we offer prayers on their behalf, Thanksgiving prayers, but also prayers in the lead up to a wedding. So for prayers for all that, and they were scheduled to honeymoon in Europe. So they're not doing that. They're going to do something different. And we're going to pray that their new honeymoon plans don't have to be changed as well. That's a lot of stress right before your big day.
Well, I guess I have a praise.
Yes. Not really now.
But they're doing okay. I was there yesterday. I'll be there again.
For the Canes family, in the midst of having the new baby Parker, also all of the other ailments, big brother and dad, and all of these things. Yes. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. The Brown family and the death of Jimmy Brown in York. Yeah, in York, the York community. Okay. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah. Good. Praise report on that. That procedure, a cortisone shot from Miss Maxine, seems to have done the trick, and pain-free. Okay. Seeing no others, let's go to God in prayer this morning. Enduring God, our goal and guide, you go before us and await our coming. Only our thirst compels us beyond complaint to conversation. Beyond rejection to relationship, pour your love into our hearts, that refreshed and renewed we may invite others to the living water given to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Reveal your Holy Spirit, O Lord, to those that we have lifted this morning, to those that are on our hearts, to the concerns of our world and community. We ask that you would be our source of peace, our source of rest, our source of strength and healing at this time. And God, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we continue to pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Those who are able, please stand and join with me in singing from The Faith We Sing, hymnal number 2071, Jesus, Name Above All Names. We'll sing it through twice. Please be seated.
I'll be reading from John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42 from the New Revised Standard Version. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, Give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying it to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, what do you want? Or, why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest. But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life. So the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you a reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believe in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Kurt, you good?
I'm good.
Okay. Did you bring any water up here? Okay. That's a long passage. Wanted to check on Kurt. That's a long passage of scripture. It's long. I read it out loud this week to myself and in preparation for this sermon. And even reading it myself, it was tough to stay in it and pay attention to what was going on as I'm reading it. My mind was starting to wander away from the words on the page or on the screen. It challenges us when we hear that much of God's word at one time. It's why we invited you to be seated for the reading of our scripture passage today, because we knew that it was a longer passage than we normally hear read and didn't want you to be further distracted by standing too long. If you're standing too long through a passage of scripture like that, you start to think about how much your feet hurt, or are you locking your knees, or are you standing funny? All sorts of things pop through your head, and so we wanted you to be able to sit for that reading. It might interest you to know, as I timed it this week, and then I also put a stopwatch on it this morning at the 8:30 service earlier, it takes around 4 minutes to read that passage. 4 minutes. It takes around 4 minutes to read that passage of Scripture from start to finish. Now, just for perspective, that's the same amount of time as the average TV commercial break that we all sit through easily and willingly. It's about the same amount of time as the average length of a YouTube video. Some are longer, some are shorter, but there's something about that 4 minute mark that maybe captures us in a YouTube video. And yet, after a commercial or watching a YouTube video, we rarely think to ourselves, you know what, I'm glad I wasn't standing for that. I'd be real tired if I was standing for that whole commercial break. We rarely complain about how long they take or how hard it was to make it through those 4 minutes and pay attention to what was going on in front of us. We don't even think about it. We just make it through the 4 minutes pretty easily. And yet somehow, as we're reading Scripture, as we're thinking about Scripture in worship and other times, especially when we're hearing it read, it's hard to hear that much Scripture. So my theory is that it's not actually the length of time that it takes to read the passage that makes it so challenging for us. It's just that we're unaccustomed to hearing that much scripture at one time. Scripture is challenging to us, and normally it's broken up by our lectionary providers into, you know, 1 minute or less chunks. Kind of like Twitter has broken our regular communication with one another down to 140 characters or less. 280 now. They did increase it. We increased our capacity on Twitter, folks. Congratulations. But so we get tired with this 4 minutes of scripture because we're unaccustomed to hearing the word of God for very long. We don't ever get that much. So in essence, we, the people of God, the people of the way, the body of Christ, can't take 4 minutes of the gospel with our full attention. Maybe you have another theory, and that's okay. You can tell me about it afterwards. But what I wanted to lift is that I at least space out whenever I hear that much scripture read. I have to concentrate. I have to make myself stay in it. And yet, in our passage this morning, the woman at the well has a significantly longer interaction with Jesus than the 4 minutes it took us to read her story. Presumably, she's in Jesus' presence for 2 days after he decides to stay in her town teaching and preaching, and yet we're worn out after 4 minutes. And because we're worn out, because we can't stay in it quite like we probably should, we miss so much important stuff in this passage. One of the things I think about is the fact that part of what they believe is that most of the Gospels and Paul's letters that we have from the New Testament were designed to be read in their entirety to the congregation every time they got together. Can you imagine if part of our regular weekly worship was sitting down to read an entire gospel in one sitting? How would we do? How would we fare? Even if it was Paul's letters, even if we opened up this morning and tried to read some of the shorter of Paul's letters, start to finish, I can imagine the looks on the faces. The glaze would come over at a certain point. But we've got to stay in it because hearing the word is important. Hearing what God has to say is important. Jesus tells us those who have ears to hear will understand. So let's dig into our passage from this morning. This interaction that we have between the Samaritan woman and Jesus happens at noon. And you'll remember from last week that Jesus' interaction with Nicodemus happened at midnight. It's important, told you last week, light and dark are important in John's gospel. So here we have the Samaritan woman coming to learn from Jesus in full daylight, not under the cover of darkness. And this woman who comes is an outsider to the group that would normally be with Jesus. She's a Samaritan, she's a woman, and she's had 5 husbands and now lives with a guy. There's a lot of stuff going against her for why she wouldn't be the ideal candidate to be sitting and having a conversation with a Jewish rabbi. Much less why she wouldn't have been a candidate for Jesus to ask for a drink of water from the well. There's so much there. And again, we have to compare it back to Nicodemus, who was the ideal candidate for a follower of Jesus. A Pharisee, a religious leader, a Jewish man. He fit the bill. He fit the description. He fit the type of person that should have put themselves at Jesus' feet to learn and to come to understand who Jesus was. And yet, here we have it. We have a Samaritan woman who doesn't fit the description coming in broad daylight, in full daylight, to learn and know from Jesus. And so then what happens in the story, what we hear is that Jesus and this woman have this interaction where Jesus asks her for the water. And she's confused. She knows that he shouldn't be asking. She knows that she shouldn't be talking to him. She knows that she shouldn't be offering the water to him. She has an understanding that she's, how do you ask me for this? And Jesus turns it around and he said, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd be asking me for the living water that would keep you from ever being thirsty again. And at that, Jesus then says to her, after she says, ooh, I want that water. Let me have some of that water. After that, Jesus then says, go and call your husband and come back. Now, at this point, the woman could have said lots of things. We find out that the woman could have said lots of things. What she chooses to tell Jesus is part of her truth. It's part of the truth about who she is. It's part of the truth about her situation. She says, I don't have a husband. It's true. She didn't have a husband. She opens up a little bit. She cracks open herself, her soul, her being, who she is, what her past. She opens a window, so to speak, into who she is to Jesus. Just enough. Just a little bit. She doesn't go full on, well, no, I'm not going to do that. Or she doesn't just make something up. She says, well, I don't have a husband. And so Jesus then says to her, she says, you've spoken truthfully. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you live with now is not your husband. And she goes, how'd you know all that? How'd you get all that from I don't have a husband? So she says to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. You see, at this point, once she has given, she tells a half-truth to Jesus. She opens the window. She opens that portal, a crack. She wades into the living water of Christ. And once she does that, Jesus is able to unearth the rest of her story. He's able to unearth it and tell it back to her to say, this is more of your story. This is the rest of your story that you left out. And I know it, and I'm still talking to you. Right? Because she experiences Jesus' acceptance and his grace and then begins to wrap her mind around who he is. And she says, I know you're a prophet. And I see that. You've told me something about myself. I see that you're a prophet. You clearly have an understanding and you're still talking to me and you've welcomed me in. Let's keep this conversation going. So she says, you're a prophet. Answer this question that the Samaritans and Jews have been arguing about for centuries. Where should we worship? How should we worship? What kind of music should we have? No, she doesn't go into all that. Those are our questions. Where should we worship? On the mountain, as the Samaritans say, or in Jerusalem, as the Jews say? And Jesus says, after a roundabout way, he more or less says, well, you Samaritans have had it wrong. But then he says, the hour is now and is coming when it won't matter. The hour is now and is coming when it won't matter where you worship. Notice he doesn't say it won't matter if you worship. There's still an assumption that you're going to be worshiping. There's still an assumption that we will be worshiping in this kingdom of God. There's still this piece of truth that we have to worship, but Jesus says it won't matter because true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth, that we will find ways to worship no matter what. That we will find ways to be true worshipers no matter what. The time is coming, and now is. And then the woman says, well, I hear what you're saying, that the time is coming and now is when the kingdom of God will come and we'll worship in spirit and truth, but don't we have to wait for the Messiah? I know the Messiah is coming, the Christ is coming. And when he comes, he'll proclaim all things to us. And this is amazing. This is this Samaritan woman who's come at noon, this Samaritan woman that doesn't fit the demographics of the audience Jesus is supposed to be there for. She doesn't fit who Jesus is supposed to be proclaiming his message to. She doesn't fit anything about anything that Jesus is supposed to be about. And nonetheless, at this moment, Jesus fully proclaims who he is to her. He says, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. I am the one who proclaims the truth to you so you can worship in spirit and in truth. These I am sayings in John's gospel are important. They call to mind Moses on the mountain asking God what God's name is, and God saying, I am that I am. This is the first one in John's gospel when Jesus says, I am. Most likely the he actually wouldn't have been in the way the Greek understanding was. I am the one who is speaking to you. Jesus tells her he's the Messiah. She finds out from his own lips who he is. And so she, filled with this new knowledge, filled with this crazy new proclamation, this new revelation, this outsider, this newly converted female disciple becomes the evangelist, the preacher that Jesus has called in Samaria to begin to fulfill John 3:16 and 17. You remember we saw that passage last week where Jesus tells Nicodemus and those others that were gathered with them that he'd come to save the world. The world. That he'd come to bring good news, that whoever believed in him would have eternal life. He's told him, he's told Nicodemus, he's told these other disciples that that's what he was there to do. And now in this passage, it's fulfilled because it's moved past just the people of Israel. It's gone into the people of Samaria. It's gone beyond the boundaries that were set up for it. This is where Jesus begins to fulfill that John 3:16 and 17 that we cling to now. And this newly converted female disciple becomes the first preacher of that good news. She leaves the interaction with Jesus. She hurries on her way back to her village and she says to him, y'all, this guy just told me everything about me. I didn't tell him anything except I wasn't married. And he told me everything. Can he really be the Messiah? Come and see with me. Come and see with me if he really is. And so she invites her whole village to come and see. And meanwhile, we hear in the story that Jesus' disciples, the ones he's called, the ones that have been with him, the ones that have heard him probably explain to Nicodemus all that was going on, the ones that saw him turn water into wine, these same disciples come back from the village where the woman is now gone to proclaim the good news. And they come back because they've just been shopping. They've just been gathering supplies. They come back by themselves. They say, Jesus, what? They think to themselves, Jesus, why are you talking to this person? And then they say, Jesus, don't you want to have something to eat? He says, no, I have food you don't know about. And he says, now's the time for the harvest. And there's plenty of work to do for those who are going to reap the harvest. They didn't have to sow it. Well, all I got to do is reap it. And they don't understand. They don't get it. They're not sure what he's talking about. You see, they don't understand the opportunity that they're missing in that moment to participate with Jesus in making more disciples among a whole new group of people. They can't wrap their minds around the fact that Jesus might have actually come to save Samaritans and that he's offering them the gospel and the good news right then and there. They can't get back past the fact that Jesus was talking to this strange Samaritan woman and now won't eat what they offer. And they're probably thinking, if he was drinking water out of their bucket, did he eat some food she had? Surely he didn't take her food. Surely he wouldn't have accepted that much hospitality from her. I get it, he was thirsty, but surely he could have waited. He knew we were going to get food. Why would he possibly? They're thinking this in their head because they can't imagine a world in which Jesus, their Jewish rabbi, would have reached out to this woman to spread the gospel. And so they've missed it. They've missed this opportunity. They've missed this chance to be a part of what Jesus is doing there in Samaria because they can't imagine that he would actually want to be in Samaria and do anything there. So they miss it. And so while the woman is in her village bringing people, saying, this guy can't be the Messiah, can he come and see with me? This new female disciple is recruiting people and pulling people and inviting people. They can't imagine it. And so all of this is happening at the same time. And so then we hear that the whole village comes with her with their new preacher, their new female pastor, leading the way back to Jesus. Come and see. come and see. So all the village comes and they start to hear from Jesus and they ask him to stay, and he stays for 2 days. And at the end of the 2 days, the town tells this woman who was the first one to proclaim the news to them. They say, we now believe in him, not because of what you said, but because of our own relationship and interaction with him. We know that he is the Savior of the world. Now, y'all, this doesn't come through, but that's the only place in this gospel that Jesus is described that way. That's the only place where any group of people acknowledges that Jesus is the Savior of the world in this gospel. And it's on the lips of the Samaritans, not the disciples, not the Jewish people, not the Romans. They give an honest and truthful confession, one that they believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. This group of outsiders that was reached by the preaching and proclamation of the Samaritan woman so that they could come and see who Jesus was. This outsider brought the new people, not the disciples who had been with him. And so this passage serves for us as another Lenten reminder of our need for the Holy Spirit to speak hard truths to us, those of us who call ourselves disciples, so that we can step fully into the light of Christ, into his living waters. And here is its message to us, I think. We have to let go of the half-truths that we cling to that make us feel better about ourselves and our past behaviors and attitudes. We'll spin a half-truth about who we are and how we behave and how we act and how we treat each other and how we do things. We'll spin that half-truth and think to ourselves, well, we've told most of it. We have to let go of those half-truths. We have to step into the living waters of Christ. We have to step fully into the light of Christ and hear his truth about us. We might be bringing half-truths, but we've got to take that step into the light, into the living waters, so that Jesus can then unearth all of the other stuff we're only half-telling him. So that Jesus can bring it to light for us. So that Jesus can work in our heart and in our spirit so that we can honestly confess it and repent of it. So that Jesus can unearth and show us our brokenness and our belovedness. That just because we've done some stuff doesn't mean he loves us and accepts us any less. So that Jesus can show us our need for worship and worship in spirit and truth, but also our need to let go of needing to be right about how, where, and why we worship. So that we can be those who worship in spirit and in truth. True worshipers. And now, here's the thing. If we don't do this, if we're not willing to let go of these half-truths, if we're not willing to step into Jesus' light, into his living water, if we're not willing to accept that from him, we will be like the disciples in this passage who miss the opportunity of the harvest that surrounds them, who dismiss the new voices, the potential new brothers and sisters in Christ, because they don't fit the ideas that we have about what that's supposed to look like. Or worse, we won't even have the good sense that the disciples in this passage have not to ask the questions that run through their mind. And we'll verbalize them. When that new person shows up, when that new opportunity comes to us, we'll actually speak those questions that the disciples at least have the good sense not to say. We'll speak them out loud. We'll say, what do you want? When that new opportunity shows up, when that new person shows up, what do you want from us? Why are you here? You don't belong. What do you want from our Jesus? Or we'll say to Jesus, to the church, to whoever it is, why are you listening to her? Why are you listening to her story? Why are you engaging with her? Why have you asked her for a drink of water? Why are you listening to her? When we do that, we'll actively run off the new people that Jesus has brought in. That's the downside. That's what happens. if we're not willing to embrace the hard truths about ourselves, to become what Jesus would have us to become, to enter into the living water, to confess and repent. Because if we don't do that, that's where we'll end up. That's how our spirit will close, how our hearts will harden. But if we do, if we're able to enter into those living waters, we'll become what the Samaritan woman becomes. We'll become like her. We will be proclaimers of the good news. We'll be those who go out into the world to tell others about the gospel. We have an old word for that in the church. It's called evangelists. We'll be evangelists. Evangelists just means messengers. It means those who take it out. Those who go out and truly worship in spirit and in truth. Those who invite people to come and see through our honest vulnerability. Those who go out and say, this is what I think about this guy. This is how he's worked in my life. Can it possibly be what I say? Come and see with me. And we'll do that in spirit and in truth, and it won't matter if we're worshiping here in person or if we have to move to all online worship. But no matter how we have to do that, we'll be able to worship in spirit and in truth and to invite people to come and see at a time when we're socially distancing ourselves, to find real connection, even if we can't be face-to-face, to live into our gospel call. We will be able to do this if we can embrace this Lenten message and step into the living waters of Christ. Jesus says it like this: "The hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." True worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. No matter what happens next, no matter how we move forward, let's be true worshipers, those who have committed to the worship of the Father, those who have committed to the living waters of Jesus Christ, who are willing to step into them, to have our brokenness and our sinfulness laid bare, to confess it and repent it, and move into proclaiming the good news, to inviting others to know of the power of Jesus' grace and his gospel. We have a particular way of saying that here at Grace. We say that our mission is to know Jesus and to make him known to others. It's who we're going to be no matter what. It's how we're going to be no matter what comes next. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you stand and let's join together in proclaiming our faith using the Apostles' Creed as number 881 in the hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Please be seated. As we come to the time of our offering, this is another place where we've modified our worship and life together. Instead of passing the collection plate this morning, we've got a collection plate there at the door. And so we invite you during this offertory to prepare your offering, if you've brought it to give in person, to go ahead and get it prepared and place it in the plate as you are leaving this morning. If you are worshiping with us online, or even if you're here in the room and you don't want to be doing checks and money and all that kind of stuff, we do have online giving available. I want to make sure you know about that. You can if you're here in person, we have a announcement about that in the bulletin. It's got the ways that you can give there in the bulletin. If you're worshiping online, you can navigate to our website and click the Give Now button, the online giving button, and it'll take you to our giving pages. You can also, if you're worshiping from home and want to think about how to get your offering to us, I encourage you to go ahead and prepare your offering now and prepare an envelope and mail it in to us if that's the best way for you to do that. So as we enter this time of offerings, we give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us. And so let's have a word of prayer as we prepare our hearts for our giving back to God. God of boundless goodness, we've come to this place this day to worship you with our songs, with our words, with our gifts, and with our whole hearts. Our reading and heeding of the Psalms reconnect us to worship that springs from a heart full of gratitude. Use these gifts as a part of our praise and use them in mission in this world so that even those who feel lost and unloved will know they have a God who loves them each dearly. With praise and thanksgiving, we lift these prayers. Amen.
please join with me in singing from the Worship and Song Green Hymnal, number 3093, Fill My Cup, Lord.
Our mission at Grace is
to know Jesus and to make him known to others.
Go therefore into the world to show people the living water that you've received, to embrace Jesus' living water in your own life and to tell people about it, to tell them to come and see this thing that has been made known to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.